हरिः
ॐ
सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय सो परमात्म संदर्भ अध्याय 3 आदिकारण 4 द ट्रूथ ऑफ द मटेरियल क्रिएशन ओके सो नाउ By accepting Parinama, we're on page 68. By accepting Parinama, the reality of the universe is established. The non-difference of effect and cause was shown. Complete non-difference was refuted by rejection of Vivartavad. Right? So they're the same, but different. So if you say they're completely the same, that's a problem. If you say they're completely different, then that's a problem. There's a balance, but you also have to know how the balance is. You know, that Krishna is the original source and everything else is then dependent upon him as the effect. Okay, so now then from Sahotra Maharaj's book about cause and effect, the concept of cause and effect is the most fundamental metaphysical category. It assumes greater importance than other concepts as it proves the key to understanding the knotty problems of how the one and the becomes many. The Shatvidya of Chandogya Upanishad asks, what is that by knowing which everything else is known? According to one school of thought, cause and effect are not the same, right? So now you're trying to ask, knowing one thing, you know everything. How to know that? So what is that? So now the different schools will have their theories on what that is, right? Okay. So according to one school of thought, cause and effect are not the same. The effect is a product of the cause, but the former is not already existent in the cause, right? So they're trying to say is the cause is creating, but at the same time is it's not already existent in the cause. You have an effect, but it's not in the cause. Just like saying you have the clay, and then you have the pot, but the pot's not inherent in the clay. So that's the one philosophy that they're trying to say, right? So then this is known as Asakaryavad, attributed to the Nyaya Vaisheshika system, right? According to another school of thought, the effect exists in the cause in a potential form and is only a manifestation of what already exists. This is Satkaryavad, held by the Shankya system, right? So Shankya meaning that it's been given by Kapila Dev, because the later then you have somebody who took the name of Kapila, and then he has his own atheistic form of it. But in other words, the metaphysical understanding of things, that analysis of the elements, that's going to be done by Shankya. While you don't get into that much detail with Vaisheshika or with Gautama. Even though Vaisheshika is about atomic theory, but they're not too worried about the combination of the atoms together and what they're producing, right? So this potency goes into that because they're not into the Satkaryavad. Their point is that, okay, clay is there, and then there's a pot, but the pot's not inherent in the clay. Just as you have a potter, he, by his effort, then you get the pot, but there was no pot in the clay, right? You look at the clay, you don't see a pot, you see a pile of clay. But what they're missing out is that it's so external, their view, that they're only looking at the, you know, that effective cause there, that someone who was the instrumental in that process. What they're not understanding is if clay didn't have the nature to be made into pot, he could not make a pot. Because otherwise, if their theory is there, then you could take a pile of sand and then bring the potter and he'll put the pile of sand on his wheel. He'll start to spin the wheel and then he'll just form the pot and everything will be nice. No, you spin the wheel and all the sand will be gone. So that's the thing, is they're taking elements of something that's real, but not taking it fully. They're only taking how much they want, interpreting how much they want. So they're applying logic to a particular aspect, but they're not taking the whole thing. So where there runs into a problem, then they'll come up with their logic, some new theoretical aspect. So they have a particular motive. So if the motive is material, then they'll always use their logic to prove their material motive. If your motive is spiritual, then you're going to try to prove the spiritual. And if your motive is transcendental, then you'll prove the transcendental. So if one is accepting that Krishna is God and I am his part and parcel, I am his servant, then I'm going to be comfortable with the full range of the philosophy. But if I'm only interested only in the spiritual aspect, I'll only take the logic up to the absolute and then stop. I won't go beyond that to the person. Or if I'm only interested in the material, I'm only going to go up as far as I want within the material, what's important or not. I want to be a nice guy here. I'll take it there. I want to go in heavenly planets. I'll take the logic farther. I don't need to be a nice guy. I just, you know, enjoy my senses. Then I will only go that far. So we see is that in this is that, as Sahotra Maharaj points out, the Satkaryavad is a very important aspect, because then on the metaphysical platform, it shows how all the 24 elements, how they, you know, within themselves is cause and effect. Like, you know, from the mode of goodness comes the mind, you know, from passion comes like this. You see these things, but that itself goes back to the original cause, which is Krishna. Right. And so then if that's the case, then you can see the elements within Krishna. So that's why then you can see that things here work in a way that's similar to how they work in the spiritual world, because of this point of Satkaryavada, of cause and effect. That because of cause and effect, you're able to appreciate that Krishna is the original person. From him, all his energies expand, and the transformation of those energies, we get the different items that we find in this world. So now they're going to have a nature, but that nature is going to be one similar to the Lord in that how the qualities and energies function and move, but also at the same time dissimilar because of its temporary manifestation. And, you know, and it's not the source of energy. It may, whatever it has in it, that much can come out. Just like, let's say I have a 2,000 rupee note, from that I can get 500 rupee notes. Now I take one of those 500 rupee notes, I can get 5 100 rupee notes. From one of those 100 rupee notes, then I can get 10 rupee notes, or I can get 5 20 rupee notes, right? And if I take one of those, then I can get, you know, the various coinage that's there and like this. But it can't give more. The 100 rupees, I can't pull out of that 2,000 rupees. I can only take out 100 rupees worth. And if I take a section of that, the 10 rupee, I can only take out 10 rupees worth. And if that I have 2 5 rupee coins, then I can only take 5 rupees out of that one coin. Right? So that's the important point to note, is that there is similarity, because it's all, in this case, money. But there's a difference because the volume is different. So all the energies are there. They're non-different from the Lord. But at the same time, there's difference in volume. And so we're Anu, we're small, and Krishna is unlimited. And so this way it puts things into perspective. Because otherwise, they try to use this to get around all these different aspects. They try to avoid their position, because you'll see is that when the get into that later. Okay, there's another view by which does not accept either of the above theories, right? So you always have to have the third wheel, right? And the effect does not exist in the cause, nor is it distinct from the cause. The two are different states of one and the same substance entity. This is the theory of Vishishta Vedanta, which is regarded as a modified Satkaryavada, right? Because you see, they have the aspects in it, but it's not getting that much into it because they're going to, it's off Satkaryavada, but then they have a particular feature they're trying to get to Vaikuntha, right? So the effect does not exist in the cause because they're looking at the material world doesn't exist. So as a manifestation, it's not in Krishna. So they're trying to establish Krishna's transcendental position. Nor is it distinct from the cause because being his energy, it can't be anything other than the Lord. So they're taking more of the manifestational differences rather than the you know, these more subtle differences like that.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Hare Krishna. So this modified Satkaryavad is there because the earlier Satkaryavad, which is explained, the Sankhyavadis, they attribute the cause to the primordial matter or the Mahatattva.
Okay.
So that's why there is something called Prakriti Parinamavad. Prakriti Parinama, it's not Shakti Parinama according to the atheistic Sankhya philosophy.
Oh, Prakriti Parinama, okay.
So that's why the Ramanujacharya has to say it in a different way so that you include Lord as well. Otherwise, for them, it's the cause is...
Okay, the Lord's not included.
Included as a cause.
Okay, well, that's interesting. Yeah, because it's... So that's why we see is even in the Vedantic schools, then they'll be taking part of a Chinta Veda Veda Tattva. And according to the time, place, and circumstance they're in, they're going to preach. So that's the interesting thing is a Chinta Veda Veda Tattva is not time, place, and circumstance. It's the eternal philosophy. And all other philosophies are portions of that. So then the Vaishnava Vedanta, that will be appropriate in that it's establishing the Lord. Its purpose is to establish the exalted position of the Lord and how everything is connected to him and he is the Lord of all that. But at the same time, you're avoiding areas where people overly press. But if you know these things, if you end up with dealing with somebody, you can use this aspect, just like you see Krishna will defeat lower schools of thought with Jaimini. And so then by doing that, then if need, then you defeat that with something higher. So it's always the position, just like logic we use to defeat anything that's illogical. But then when logic gets to the end of its ability, then one starts to use the higher levels of philosophy because they're all parts of Achinta Veda Veda Tattva, but you have to know where they fit and how to use. They're not ultimate points. In other words, this Vishishta Dvait then is bona fide and that is establishing the Lord, but you're trying to show where somebody's putting too much of an emphasis of the similarity. You're showing, no, there's a difference there, and where they're putting too much difference, you're putting a similarity. So they're just trying to deal with individuals who, according to their motives, they're trying to take the philosophy out of context like that. So does that make sense?
So Hare Krishna. So the earlier earlier aspect of Prakriti Parinamavad, that is abide by the Shaktas. For Shaktas, then making the primordial matter as a cause makes their philosophy run nicely.
Yes.
So that's why the Lord is not established there. So,
because all the six systems only take the material world up to Pradhan. It's just where they emphasize, you know, like that. So they'll take it up to Pradhan and that, but they're only interested in the impersonal, or they go up to Pradhan and they are with Devi, or they go up to Pradhan and then they're with Shiva, like this, or some go up to Pradhan and then they become, you know, they leave that and then there's nothing. So in all these schools, other than the Vaishnav schools, then there's no understanding, proper understanding of Vishnu. Otherwise, you see, is they'll take Vishnu and they reduce him down to that he is like us also. Right? In other words, you know how you say it's it's a more modernistic form of, you know, how God's a human, you know, so they have that song, you know, is God, you know, one of us, the slob like one of us, that song. So the by reducing him down, then he's nothing special. And by reducing him down, then we can become God. But it's also very interesting in that is that they want to be God, but at the same time, as if it doesn't matter, it's all the same. Why not that they, I'm dog, or I am that beggar over there, or I am this. Why is it God? Because it's still a matter of prestige. So even though they're claiming to be liberated and that, they identify themselves as liberated, so they call each other Narayan, it's all about prestige. Bottom line, it's prestige. You know, so it doesn't leave the material platform. It may get more subtle. Instead of being gross, sense God, it becomes subtle. So this element of reducing something that is of a higher nature down, so that then now your position becomes better. We see this is a very common thing, right? You know, you have, let's say, a leader in society, you have to bring him down, like say a very modern thing. You know, I mean, it's always been there to some degree, but now it's become like a fad that, you know, show all the bad qualities of anybody that anybody holds as respectable. You know, George Washington, Lincoln, Napoleon, anybody. You just take anybody and then just show all their faults and bring them down to our level. In fact, because they have faults and I found that I'm better. So that's a very standard thing. So the same principle applies, is that Prabhupada is talking about that previously the whole world, I mean, Bharat Varsha means the place, you know, for human beings who follow human culture, in other words, the Aryan culture. So they're following the Vedas, and so they're there. But with time, different parts of the world forget about the Aryan culture. So they drop down to a subhuman position. And so then we have to be very, very careful that, you know, then in India, it's the only place left that's still identifying with and following to some degree those principles. But we have to be very careful about those unscrupulous, attitudes in which then they just will say, oh, India is just another country. It's also just a material country. And so therefore, it's a material country, and where I'm living is a material country. And so therefore, what's the difference? I'm from here, so I do this. And they're from there, they do that. But actually, our country is better than theirs. So actually, they should do what we do. You know, so that's what you see, is that in the modern kind of context, they try to bring down India just to, it's a, just another country. So Prabhupada mentioned before, there was one flag. It was the world, Bharat Varsha. But as you leave the Aryan culture, then all you do is add flags. And the disunity is there. Everything becomes very broken up. And so then you don't have the that things work. So the only way they work is by following the Aryan culture. Yes.
All right. Sorry. It's regarding the Satkaryavada, but by Sankhya system.
Yes.
Between what we say and they say.
They're saying that they're trying to show that there is the cause and effect. There is no connection, because their point is Brahman can't be the cause. And because the material world is also a very external view. The material world is temporary. Brahman is eternal. So therefore, Brahman can't be the cause of the material world. So therefore, it has to come from Prakriti. Right? So Prakriti, then you get the material world. But at the same time, is there can't be that. So they just leave that out. So it's all illusion. And so then you just give up that illusion, then you become Brahman. So they try to sidestep the whole thing. At the same time, is if you say that, but there's only Brahman, so where could the Prakriti come from? And if it's superior, then they'll have to. Then there'll be some aspects of the schools will say that no, there is you know some connection there, but not really. So they'll try to find some way that there's that you know they'll have an example that you know like a bird in the tree, green bird in the green tree, it becomes one. You know these kind of examples. The rope and the snake and stuff like that. So they're not taking the shelter because the motive is just to get them focused on Brahman. I mean, from nothingness to Brahman, because at least Brahman then is supported by the Vedic literatures, by the Upanishads, the Vedanta Sutra. While then the you know Nirvan then is just supported by the you know the Pali scriptures, and so then they're not following the Vedic version. They don't accept things. So it's a step aspect. Does that make sense? So they don't deal with it so much. So we see is within all the schools, basically only Vedanta will deal with it and the Shankyites. Others, basically, they deal with Satkaryavad, like that.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Is that? Hare Krishna, yes.
So the first philosophy of Asatkaryavad by Nyaya and Vaisheshika, they say there is no relationship between cause and effect. Like effect automatically appears from nowhere, something like that. I mean, there is no relation at all. And then
just like somebody passed air in the room and there's a smell, but it had no origin. No one in the room is willing to admit.
And then the Vivartavad is kind of, they accept that the effect comes from the cause, but the effect is illusion. It's not real.
Okay.
So then Satkaryavad or the Parinamavad, which Prakriti, both the atheistic Sankhya and the real Sankhya, accept that it is a real transformation. The effect is real. But then the atheistic Sankhya, they attribute the cause to the primordial matter. Whereas the real Sankhya, which is followed by the Vedanta, they attribute the cause to the Supreme Lord. That's why it is proved in the previous Adhikaranas that the Lord is both the material and efficient cause. So he is the cause, not the matter. Matter is just his like energy through which he is executing it.
Just like the potter.
Because the Parinamavad is accepted by Sankhyaites, the Yoga Patanjali, and the Vedanta, everyone. The Yoga Patanjali, they also follow this, like for them, but their focus is on something else. But they accept so that the material world is really real and everything like that.
So then they're doing, so if they use the Parinama, it's only Brahma Parinama.
But then
when there's a problem that Brahman can't transform, then where do they take it from there?
The others don't deal with Brahman at all, so they don't even bother with that. Only the Advaita Vedantas, they deal with Brahman, so...
Okay, so we're the only ones that give them trouble then?
Yes.
The Vaishnavas. Okay. Yeah. Okay, is that word, Mataji?
Maharaj, I want to clarify what would be the difference between what Ramanuja says and Madhva says, because basically it sounds right now that they say more or less the same, which is that the Krishna or Lord, he's the origin of Nimitta. He's not the origin of, I mean, he's a remote origin of Upadana, but not exactly. The Upadana, they don't want to connect it, you know, totally. They give it connection, but somehow that's what I understood from Vishishtadvaita and Shuddhadvaita.
Well, because your basic that comes down to is that they're dealing with the platforms of people are, how do you say, They can do one or the other. It's right or it's wrong. It's black or it's white, or it's this or that. So therefore, then, they're dealing with those aspects of Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva that works for the audience that they're preaching to, right? So everything has a time, right? Krishna's pastime. Krishna's unfolding the, his pastime. So then Sankirtan pastimes will also be there. So when Lord Chaitanya comes, before that, you've gone from the smarta karmakandi is misusing the Vedas and not willing to adjust anything. So then that is being thrown out, and then you're kind of starting from scratch. You know, the people become peaceful. Now you're bringing them from voidism back into impersonalism, up into the Vaishnav, and then into Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva. So there's a time for everything, and every mission has its time limit, right? When it's there for, and you know what its purpose is and all that. So they're simply emphasizing those aspects of Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva that then their audience can accept. Does that make sense? So with the Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva, then any aspect you can deal with. That's why sometimes it appears to be contradictory. But the point is by chanting Hare Krishna, by the Yuga Dharma, then you're going to find that that purification and that pleasure of the Lord so that he reveals is such that then one can appreciate the Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva. But before that, they're chanting and all this, but they're chanting, their connection, the chit potency, they're connecting themselves back to Vaikuntha. But now one is collecting to Goloka. So the effect then can take you to that level, because then Goloka works on this Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva, while the others can work on these other aspects because they are expansions of. So those features of Goloka that then are more specific, you know, they're more limited. Like in Vaikuntha, you only have Shanta and Dasya Rasa. So then you only need that much of the understanding to make it complete. But then when you go into Goloka, you have the five rasas. You have to be able to accommodate more. And then when you go to Braj, you have to be able to accommodate the most. Does that make sense?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. Yes, our.
Also, the difference, it appears that Vishishta Advaita and Dvaita are different because the focus of Madhvacharya is the doubt created by the Advaita Vedanta is on Ishvara aspect. That they had two aspects in their philosophy. First one is like how the avidya is one sense is the origin of Brahman. Through avidya, the material world is manifest and becomes the jiva, that aspect. And then Ishvara is in mode of goodness. Like they bring Ishvara down. So Vishishta Advaita clears more or less the whole aspect of that avidya cannot be the cause, because then the Shakti Parinama and Satkaryavad, they discuss the whole philosophy nicely. But then the aspect that Ishvara is not just in a mode of goodness, he's beyond. So Madhvacharya only emphasizes that most, that saying that Ishvara has nothing to do this with this material world, is always beyond. That's why then his philosophy doesn't in any way come near to accepting that the Lord is the material cause, because then as soon as you say Lord is the material cause, then they put that, okay, then he come under the modes. So that's why it appeared to be different, but it's because of the emphasis on...
On the emphasis, the particular emphasis. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes. Yeah?
So in other words, there's a very specific philosophical point that is there, a philosophical attitude amongst those times, the impersonalists, so then that you have to remove. And because if there's anything connected with the Lord, they'll take it this way, or if it's like that, they'll take it that way. So then he'll only deal on those points that just establish that there's difference between the two. Because once they accept that the soul and God are different, and the soul's eternally the servant of the Lord, then you can move forward. Because we see is, remember there was that one verse, I think in a commentary by Madhvacharya, where he's talking about the relationship with the Lord in Vaikuntha. And at that point, you could see what he was saying is very similar to Ramanujacharya. So dealing on that side, then you won't see any really difference in the philosophy. Because in the spiritual world, there's only a Chintabheda Veda Tattva, but it's just which aspect you're emphasizing, which elements you're focusing on. You know, just like, let's say, the cowherd boys, then they're going to be focusing on, means that the principles of rasa are there, but they're going to focus on those features of Krishna that is within their rasa. Right? And so they're going to see all other rasas in the context of their rasa. So it's not that it's not a Chintabheda Veda Tattva, but it's a particular focus. Right? And so on that platform, you're not going to see any difference between the different, you know, in the spiritual world. There may be levels of depth of realization or that is like we saw in Vaikuntha, of those who can only appreciate, you know, everything done properly, those who they will do things properly, and others can kind of, you know, do what they do, but it doesn't bother them. They're fixed. And then those who appreciate the devotional position of others, even though it's different from themselves. Right. So that just takes it's just a deeper understanding, more maturity, a particular taste. And the point is all three of those can be functioning in the same place fine, as long as you keep that atmosphere. So that's why Vaikuntha is the way it is. And Gopal Gopakumar then needed to go to Vrindavan. Right. And so then he came back to Gokul. And then from Gokul, then he went to Goloka. Right. And so these aspects are there. There is no difference. But here within the material world, because you're dealing with the material philosophies, then these aspects are there. Just like ourselves, if someone emphasizes too much one way, we'll switch to pushing the other way. Does that make sense? You know, in making the point, it doesn't mean we change philosophies. Now, if you're dealing with a certain thing all the time, then you're going to move in a certain circle. And then, you know, because of the, you know, the social status and the things that's there, then one has to have his particular commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So then that commentary will be written with that angle in mind. Right? So then it will be effective for that particular time. For when you're dealing with that mentality, it's effective. So that's why we see is that our acharyas, like means in the satsandarbhas, every aspect of Vaishnava philosophy that's there is in the satsandarbhas, because Lord Chaitanya gave. And you see at different points within it, in giving Shastric quotes and backup, then sometimes you'd be quoting from Madhva, some areas you're quoting from Ramanuja, some areas you're quoting from different Sridhar Swami, you know, like this, because they're just dealing with different facets of a Chintabheda Veda Tattva. And so when you're dealing with that aspect, what they're doing, it works. So we don't need to deal with their philosophy as a whole. We're dealing with their philosophy in as it is addressing a particular misunderstanding. So if we have a very nice explanation that we're using, we use it. But let's say a Ramanuja or Madhvacharya have a very excellent way, we'll use that, you know? And much of the time then, the examples in that themselves go back to the Upanishads or the Puranas or like this. And so then we just follow those. Does that make sense? So there's no contradiction. There's just an emphasis being brought out for a particular purpose. So Ramanuja had a mission, right? Madhvacharya has a mission. And so then there's Lord Chaitanya's mission. And so that's what you're trying to get to. They're clearing the way for Lord Chaitanya's mission. And once Lord Chaitanya's mission is there, then a Chintabheda Veda Tattva can be used. And then wherever there are nice arguments, might mean where Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas give nice arguments, that's fine. That's there. But if you see that they're quoting someplace from the other Acharyas, like you see even on certain points, establishing Narayan as beyond the material creation, much of the time we'll quote Shankaracharya. You know, what is it? Narayano Paravyaktat, that he's beyond. You know, so wherever it is, you know, certain things we're quoting from Panini, certain things we're quoting from, we even saw in the, what do you call it? From Nyaya, from all the different schools will be quoting from where they're right. So in other words, they're starting with some aspect that is correct and then misunderstanding. You know, it's like I remember gave the example once in the 90s. Then when we were cooking, we had this one boy. He was quite young. You know, it may have been like, I don't know, like 12 or something like that. He came to the Gurukul. He was from Russia. And somehow we were cooking dal. And that he said, he asked, because, you know, everybody cooked at that time because, you know, school was small. So everybody was in the kitchen. And so then he asked if, you know, once he knew how to cook, then he asked, can I cook the dal? I want to cook Russian dal. Okay. Then we said, okay, what's Russian dal? You know, he says that, you know, like you use tomatoes in the dal, that I think at that time tomatoes were, you know, they're in season at certain times and certain times they're not in season. So to give that little bit of sourness, they would use some yogurt, right? And so we thought, okay, yeah, it'll work. Because I know in Indian cooking that a lot of your traditional recipes, there's no tomatoes in it, if you can believe it, right? You know, but there's no tomatoes in it. So, but they'll use a little bit of yogurt. You know, how they use the yogurt and this and that difference. So then he made the dal. And afterwards, we're eating the dal. And it's there's a lot of yogurt in it. So we ask him, okay, in this dal that you cooked for 25 people, which isn't that much, right? How much yogurt you put in there? And he said, oh, 2.5 liters. And we said, kind of like, you know, it's kind of like half dal, half, you know, half the dal prep and half yogurt, you know? So he saw, you know, somebody, his parents or somebody putting some yogurt. He liked it. But in his mind, the yogurt was this much, rather than they only put in like, you know, like maybe a little spoon. But to him, it was like this much. So then when he did it, it came out. So that's what happens is they're taking bona fide elements of the Vichinta Veda Veda Tattva. Then they're taking them out of proportion. If they're, you know, if they're the how you say the agnostic schools, they're taking it out of proportion and then filling in the gaps. But they're starting with actual real elements, because the soul can't actually start with nothing that's real, because all there is Krishna's world, and all there is the experience of that world, and the experiences they're getting are according to the rules of rasa on how you deal with something. So they can't go outside actually of Krishna's context, right? They can't. But how they put it together, then you can get all kinds of different results. So that's basically what's happening in all these schools is they're ending up with emphasizing that, but they're basing on the Vedas. That's why they're considered special, right? They're human, but they may be misguided in certain aspects. But, you know, fundamentally something's there. But we can say, oh, but if fundamentally it's good, we could use the whole, no. We can't use the whole thing. What fundamentally good is already in a Chinta Veda Veda Tattva. So we just have to follow our philosophy. But, and then you have, you know, then those outside of the Vedic circle where they're taking elements of this without even knowing its connection with the Veda and then coming up with more and more distorted applications of it. And then you get all your modern philosophies in that. Does that work?
Yes, thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. 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 There's another view which does not accept either of the above theories. The effect does not exist in the cause, right? Because you're trying to disconnect the Lord from the material, nor is it distinct from the cause because it can't come from anywhere else. The two are different states of one and the same substance, entity. This is the theory of Vishishtadvaita Vedanta, which is regarded as the modified Satkaryavada. As against these accepted views, we have other theories of causality which question the very basic concept of cause and effect. Thus, according to Charvak school, there is no such thing as cause and effect. The Buddhists, for whom everything is momentary, also deny the very existence of cause and effect as enduring entities. They might use it here and there to prove something, but they don't maintain it as a important entity. Like we can see is that they don't accept it, but you can see as Sahotramars is pointing out that this Satkaryavada is a very fundamental, you know, principle in the metaphysical category on how it works. It means, in other words, the metaphysics works by Satkaryavada. That's how it works. And the metaphysics is coming from Krishna. So it's a matter of how far back you take it, right? So some will take it only into what I see here and it's transforming. Some will take it back to that metaphysical aspect and it's, you know, the original creation and then how it comes down into what I see here and then how it continues. But then there you take it back to the Lord, right? So it becomes a very important aspect. You see, others don't necessarily deal with that.
Maharaj?
Yes.
For the Buddhists, it's momentary existence. Like at this moment, there is cause and effect. At another moment, it doesn't exist there.
Okay.
So they accept it, but it's momentary.
They accept it as long as you haven't attained nirvana, right? Okay. So, yeah. Practically, it's there, but when you get to the ultimate, it's not there. Yeah. I mean, that's what also then even the Shankarites will do that. Because ultimately, there's no knowledge, there's no nothing, you're just there in Brahman. So basically, that's where you see is that it's Buddhistic. Because there is this Brahman realization that the Shankarites talk about, it doesn't exist, it's Buddhism. It's just that their Buddhism is being explained according to Vedanta philosophy, that's all. So it doesn't exist. So yeah. You know, it's just like we saw when Gopakumara went to Mahakalapura, then he saw the living entities, you know, they're white, the dress is white, they're in the white Brahman, and they're absorbed in I am Brahman. But you could see them individually sitting there. And as long as they're absorbed in I am Brahman, then they sit there. But as soon as they start thinking about activity, then Lord Shiva, who is the Lord of that area, then he comes and puts them back in the material world. It was interesting because Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking about, the different levels of that when you're trying to go above. Okay. Devotee is aspiring for prema. This is in chapter 7th part. Devotees aspiring for prema have, by practicing Vaidhi Bhakti, attained love of God and surpassed the 14 levels of material existence, right? So they've gone beyond by connecting with Krishna, love for Krishna, that attraction of Krishna. They've gone above the 14 worlds, right? So now above the 14 worlds exists the subtle realm of Haradam, right? Because this is Brahma's world, the 14 worlds. So by connecting to Krishna, you've gone above that. Then you go above Haradam, the abode of Lord Shiva. Leave the four levels of this existence and proceed higher. Right? So it's interesting that these levels, because remember in the it's being discussed because we saw that he had gone out and he's in the Mahakalapura there, but he's already left the coverings of the universe, right? And so having left the coverings of the universe, then he's seeing all these living entities absorbed in Brahman. And then you have Shiva's dham itself that is there. But at the same time as remember that Jagadish Prabhu was pointing out that I'm not sure which of the acharyas was talking about, that this aspect of Mahakalapura is also within the covering, I think, of Pradhan. So then you have different levels of this Haradam according to the particular person. So you're going to have his place where he lives. You're going to have the place where he lives in this, you know, that's beyond this material world. Then you're going to have these aspects of Mahakalapura in between. So whether it's inside the universe or outside, or part of the universe or outside the universe. So that's the thing. When you say you leave the universe, you leave the 14 worlds, doesn't necessarily mean you've left the coverings. Because the coverings are technically outside the universe, means as we know it. But if you're talking about the Brahmanda, no, they're within the Brahmanda, but outside the universe. You know, so it's like calling the heavenly planets Amara, deathless. Means they just live a long time. That's what you call it. You know, oh yeah, best friends forever, you know, like that. It just means a long time. So you have that, but you also have the aspect that there are those who are outside the Brahmanandas. Right? And then they're existing there in the Vishuddha position of the Sri Shuddha Sattva. Right? But then it also mentions here, now you have to, having left Shivas, you have to pierce through the two levels of Vishuddha Sattva. It mentions here Brahman and Vaikuntha. Like that. In the form of Viraja. So by going through Viraja, you can go, you know, past the Brahman and past the Vaikuntha and get to Goloka. Right? And then in Goloka, you have the five levels of personal experience, the Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhura. Then in Madhura, then you can come through, then you have those levels, then in Radharani's group. Like this, you can go up. So it's just showing that how rasa just moves up through all those different aspects. So you're going to have always within these, you're going to have different levels. And because they're levels of the same thing, you don't necessarily have to talk about it. Like you say, oh yes, my kid's going to school. You don't necessarily have to get into the details of, you know, where the school is, what classroom he's in, what book he's using and that. You just know, oh yeah, he's in grade school, or he's going to third grade, or he's studying English. You know, it can go. So that's the fun part about it is that you have these different levels that are all dealing with the same principle, just they may be more subtle or more gross. You have something, Jagadish Prabhu?
No, I just wanted to mention that particular explanation is given by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in Brahma Samhita.
Very good.
He distinguishes between the Sadashiva Loka and Mahakalapura. So one is within and one is outside.
Okay. So then within the Pradhan element.
Yes.
Okay. So then if Gopakumar had stopped to worship Mohini, then he would end up there. Right. Okay. Yes. So nice. So we see that these different aspects that are there. And so then, yeah. So it seems to be these are all different levels of Lord Shiva's abode, because Brahma doesn't control these. Brahma only controls the 14 worlds. But it appears that the coverings on the universe, that appears that may be controlled by Lord Shiva. Because it's all still within Devi. It's all Devi Dham. You know, and so then he'll be controlling that aspect. Okay. Then
it also explains in the first Amrita that when Nara travels, then the Brahma talks about the Shiva as his object of worship, means Shiva is immediate beyond Brahma. And then it's confirmed in the second part by so it all matches.
Okay, yes. It's just a matter of which element is being talked about at the time, but because they're working on the same principle, it doesn't really matter. You know that where we're dealing with Rudra, but at the same time, he's an expansion of Sadashiva. So we're dealing with him as the Vaishnava. like that. So that's the whole principle, is one doesn't have to worry. And you see is that even Sadashiva, he's, you know, has an element of non-difference from Mahavishnu. Because he's that aspect of I am the creator, maintainer, and destroyer that Mahavishnu has. That the destroyer aspect, that's the Sadashiva part. And where you're actually performing that destruction, that's the Rudra part. So you see is that all these aspects that are very subtle. So because we're focused on Krishna and that sweetness of Krishna, and that then one can go beyond all these things. Because otherwise, if you're dealing with a more formality or things like this, it'll be harder to go beyond all these, because then these other things are more formal and Krishna and Braj is not formal. But if one appreciates that the taste of sweetness, then all these states, then one can go beyond. So one can deal with all these. And it's the ability to be able to appreciate all these that one is, in other words, the more you can appreciate the elements of the Braja pastimes and how they work and how Krishna and his affection works with the devotees, the more all these technical points of the philosophy make sense. Right? So these are aspects that are within the pastimes, but within the pastime, it's a simple sentence. But the misgivings and doubts that come up in relationship to Krishna, then you have, you know, pages and pages of philosophical commentary to try to remove the mistakes made by not understanding that simple point, that simple sentence. So that's why you see the commentaries are very big. But otherwise, you know, the point is that, you know, we're servant of Krishna, he's the Lord of his energies, these simple points of the Dasamul, that just that much is enough that one can understand the balance and position, and just by knowing those headings, one can apply that and you know, do well. Yeah, a little colder today on the roof, no? Like that. Yeah. Cooled down last night. Is that good? Yeah. Okay. Jai Ho. Halad Arnitai, we're okay.
Maharaj, I just went to get some water.
Okay. So now let's see, back to, okay, Buddhist. The Advaita school, though they accept the concept of cause and effect, deny ultimate reality to it because causal relation is logically unintelligible, right? So they're going to accept cause and effect because they see as that's how it all works. That's what Vedanta is talking about. But in the ultimate sense, they don't accept it. So you can see is they're a bit like the Buddhists, that they accept it, but only in connection with the material world. Like that, because they say it's not logical once you get up to that point, is how can the Supreme, who is transcendental to everything and eternal, then produce something that is temporary and full of misery and things like this. So they say it's beyond logic, but that's the whole point that we establish, is that Lord Vishnu is beyond logic. You can't know him through logic. So the tools that you have can only work in the context and the environment that those tools are made from and for, right? You know, so therefore, if you have tools of this world, you can only understand things of this world. So to understand what's beyond this world, that has to be functioning on the platform of the soul. So it can't be actually working by mundane logic. Mundane logic has its limitations on what it can do. And so, therefore, when they demand that their mundane logic has to work on the absolute platform, that's where their philosophy falls apart. Up to that point, what they're saying basically is the same as what we're saying. Getting up to the point of liberation, the path is one path, right? You know, as Krishna says in Gita, there's one path. Everyone's following one path. So depending upon how far they want to go on that path, they take that element, they use those elements of the path. So those points of the philosophy that progress you up the path to a particular point, that much they take. What takes you beyond that, they don't accept. So they get up to the point of liberation, but don't accept beyond that. And so the Shankaras will go the highest of all the bogus schools, but they stop still within the material confines. They don't get beyond. Is that, yeah? The argument here is that two entities, Brahman and the universe, as real with different nature, cannot be identical. One is real, Brahman, and the other illusory, the universe. Then it is possible to regard them as non-distinct. Right? Because you're trying to say is, you know, one's real and one's not real. And then you're saying they're the same. So somehow or another, that sounds so logical to them, when that doesn't make any sense at all. But they'll accept that logic rather than, no, they're the same, because otherwise, where does it come from? Because they don't want to accept that there's anything impure in Brahman. And so from that, they have their schools. And we saw before, is that because Madhvacharya, as soon as you say that there's any oneness between the connection between the Lord and the material, then they want to bring him down into the material world as an ordinary human being in the mode of goodness. He'll be the best, but he's still within this platform. And so as I advance, I become the best, so I become Narayan. So that, you know, it makes Narayan obtainable. So there, you see is that they follow their logic up to the point where, as long as it supports their conclusion, and where their conclusion isn't supported by logic, they accept the non-logic, you know. So that's the, you know, that's basically the way everybody is. So here the whole point is that coming from Krishna, we accept how much is important up to how we are placed within Krishna, our relationship to him and his pastimes. More technical than that, it's not necessary for us like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Can you still hear us? Yeah? Okay. So, one can't know everything. Only Krishna knows everything. That's the whole point of his position, is he's all knowledge. He's all energy. You know, he's unlimited. So he can know all these things. And even then, he doesn't know. He can know, but he doesn't know. You know, so that's the thing. That's his position. So we know how much is important for us. So the point is, since you can only know a certain amount, you know what is important for you. So the highest position a living entity can gain, you take that amount of philosophy, that takes you up to Raja Vrindavan. And if you want to, you know, you want to go a little less than that, you want to go to Goloka, then, you know, a little less than that, you want to go to Vaikuntha, you know, like this, like that on down. But this is as high as you get. But the point is here, because it's a descending process, it's complete because you know the principle, right? You don't know the detail. Detail, how much is important to you, that's how much you know. So because of our inductive, we think that, no, if you know everything, you have to know all details. No, that's not the way it works. The top is the principle. Point is, it's Krishna who knows everything. So it starts from Krishna and goes down to the detail. So we can know from our particular detail up to Krishna. We know the absolute. We may not know other aspects, but we know the principle. So we actually do know everything. By the inductive, you can say, oh, no, you don't know everything. But who cares for the inductive? You know, where is it getting anybody? Is anybody going back to Godhead with the inductive? No. Zero. Not one person can go back to Godhead with inductive intelligence. Right? Technically, they can't even get to Brahman. You know, they can't get to anything, but whatever it is, they like to think they can. Okay. So now continue with the Sarvasambandhini. Some claim as follows. Cause and effect of the object are created by a different state of one object. Right? By these two states, there is difference and non-difference of the stage because of difference and non-difference from the object itself. Thus, all objects have difference and non-difference. In all cases, there is non-difference by the object being the cause and the class object, jati. There is difference by the object being the effect and the specific object, vyakti. The clay is this pot. The animal is this cow. The logic of this argument is found in Bhaskara's philosophy. So Bhaskara is who?
Maharaj, as far as I know, is Brahma Parinama world.
So he's one of the Shankara schools. Yeah. So they're accepting, you know, in other words, they're accepting to the limit that it functions within this material world. But once you get up to Brahman, then it doesn't function anymore. You know, so it, you see it, it's similar like the Buddhists, like that. Others make the following claim. There's no difference and non-difference of effect and cause because the effect is a state with a particular form. It is not clay, since clay was previously the state. The clay is not the effect, pot, since the clay does not have that particular form of the pot, right? So you see, they're getting more gross here. The other one, they can say it's there. It's just a different transformation of the same thing. So they're trying to say it's all clay. So the pot doesn't actually exist. The pot being a transformation of clay, it doesn't exist because actually it's just clay. It's a temporary manifestation, so it doesn't exist. You know, and they'll take it as far as being, it's an illusion. Or we'll say it exists, but because it's temporary, that's why we say the non-existence. But now here's the understanding is that, you know, you can't connect the two because clay in the pot, because the clay doesn't have the shape of a pot. That's something else. So you can't say that the two are there. The pot alone is endowed with these specific qualities that is made evident in the usage of the two words cause and effect. One says the pot is the effect, or the effect is the pot. Since it proved that the effect is this particular state, cause must be a different state, right? Because you're saying cause and effect, that they're two different states, so cause has to be different. That's their good. Therefore, effect and cause for an object having two different states are different. So in this, it's one thing, and in this, it's another. So they don't have any, they don't see the connection. They're not looking at the clay, they're looking at the form. So the one is looking at the clay and disregarding the pot. The other one's looking at the pot and disregarding the clay. Okay. The non-difference depends on an object endowed with qualities like pot, in the case of clay as the source, and does not relate to all differing objects. One does not perceive difference and non-difference with the effects from differing sources. Thus, individual difference and class non-difference do not express duality for one object. There should be a third entity that has qualities common to both, one shelter of the two different effects. This produces a fault in the theory, and the arguments are not conclusive. Therefore, difference concerning Brahman and the world is the conclusion. Statements like Tattvamasi, which indicate non-difference, have already been explained. But is this some particular school that we're dealing with here? Or this Maharaj, is just the first?
I think the before one was which Bhaskaracharya is the bifurcation, and this is the theory of reflection, which will support the illusory aspect of, you know, the material world.
Okay. There are many reasons for accepting difference as the conclusion. This can be seen in logical works like Nyayamrita. The theory of difference and non-difference is not accepted since its support depends on qualities within an object, one object. Non-difference is not accepted because that is devoid of all qualities, right? So the thing is if you're saying it's non-difference, then one has qualities, one doesn't have qualities, right? And so then if you accept the qualities, the other doesn't have qualities, so you can't have a relation. And if you accept non-qualities, but then this one has qualities, so then you can't, it can't work. So that's the difficulty, is using the material logic. They're not knowing where to apply the subtleties that are there, that the quality that the pot is manifesting, if that's not in the clay, you cannot make a pot. You know, you just can't. So that's the point, is that there has to be something within the, means qualities of the pot are already in the clay. So you'll see anything of cause and effect, what the effect is, the qualities are there. It's inherent qualities are there in the cause. But because they're looking at things just from a logical point of view, then they remove all that. You know, it's like in an argument, someone takes just one part of the sentence that you say and then tries to make a whole argument out of that, disregarding the other half of the sentence that you say. So this is all they're doing. It's the mundane logic they can't. Others take shelter of Tarka Partishtanat, Brahma Sutra 2.1.11, and claim that there is non-difference because of the impossibility of contemplating difference by seeing the profusion of unlimited faults and difference. They also claim that there is difference because of the impossibility of contemplating non-difference by seeing the profusion of unlimited faults in the non-difference. They thus accept inconceivable difference and non-difference, achinta veda veda, right? Because the point is if you say they're different, then there's so many qualities that are there that they are the same. So then there's faults. And if you say no, they're non-different, but then the other one has qualities in that are different, that you can't say they're the same. So that's the inconceivable difference and non-difference. So that's why it's not just different and non-different simultaneous, it's also inconceivable. So that's the important aspect, is that the Lord being beyond everything, it's not illogical to say he's inconceivable, right? Because everyone wants to say no, but by logic I want to know. But if we're saying God is beyond everything, it's not illogical to say he's inconceivable. You start with that point, then what are the logicians going to say? They don't like it, but they can't say it's not logical. It's very logical that God is inconceivable, right? So therefore, and he can reconcile everything. So here in Tattva, you can reconcile everything. In Rasa, you can reconcile everything. So we see is that that sense, he is everything. That means all the qualities and the non-qualities are all within him. And so therefore, everything is simultaneously, inconceivably one and different. And so that's why then you see within this world, within the effect, that you're going to have all these different contradictory elements that work so nicely together. So in Tattva, it all goes back to him. In Rasa, it all goes back to him. But they're based on the same principle, him. So that's the thing, Krishna being the original, everything being him, then it just comes back down. You know, so the taste one's getting, then that can be explained by achinta veda veda tattva. The knowledge of it, that can be explained by achinta veda veda tattva. So that's the point, is that yeah, we're good. Okay. The Bhadaras, the Pauranikas, and the Shaivites accept difference and non-difference. Bhaskara also accepts it. Mayavadis accept the different portion as conventional, Vyavaharika, or an appearance only, like the Buddhists. Gotama, Karana, Jaimini, Kapila, and Patanjali accept difference. The views of Ramanuja and Madhva are well known. We accept achinta veda veda because the Lord has inconceivable shaktis. So you see, some accept non-difference, some accepts difference. But we accept simultaneously one and different. So, okay. Preeti, having stated that the universe is a natural shakti of the Lord, based on the achinta veda veda tattva, the author next proves the same by negation. if the universe is not dependent on the Lord, then it would be equal to the spiritual form of the Lord, which is eternal. But we know that the universe has a temporary manifestation. Thus, the universe can't be independent of the Lord. Anucheda 79. The universe is the natural Shakti of Paramatma. That is summarized here. Vikaras kya yamano pi pratyag atmanam antara na nirupyo shyanur api syaschechit sama atma vat. This universe and even a single atom within it have no definition without reference to the Supreme Soul. If that were so, then these objects would be of similar quality to the Lord. Right. So that makes sense, because it says they have no definition without reference to the Lord. So that's the whole point, is that's why we see that the importance of everything being taken back to Krishna. When we try to describe something without Krishna, then yes, you can use your own logic on it. But when you take it back to Krishna, that's where the logic falls apart, you know? So if you're going to apply it into anything, then you have to see how is this related to Krishna? How, you know, what's the potencies at work here? What energies at work? What laws are at work? You know, who am I in connection with this situation and laws and energies? What's my relationship? Therefore, what is my duty in this context? And so by that, everything goes back and it naturally brings everything into place. Because everything being Krishna, it's all his energies. Therefore, everything has to be seen in the context of him. And because we are an energy, we have to see what aspect of energy we are. And therefore, and what is our situation within the material energy, that how we can relate to Krishna. And so that goes together, and that becomes our position, our services, our duties, all these different aspects. And so then we see very nicely how it falls into place. It's only in its dependence on Krishna that it has a value. It doesn't have a value on its own. So something has use when it's used for Krishna, but on its own, it doesn't. So we see is that, like, let's say we're cooking. So let's say the pot has, you know, great use as long as we're using a pot. If I'm at the counter with a cutting board and a knife, the pot has no meaning. So its only connection is back to the cooking, you know, where it is being used in the cooking process. Where it's not being used in the cooking process, it doesn't have any value. So therefore, it's only the potential of input where it can be applied within cooking, that therefore the kitchen itself has use. So that means, let's say after a year of using your kitchen, you go through all the utensils in the kitchen, you find so many of them that you don't use. That means they don't, so because they're not used in cooking, they have no use, you know, for that service of cooking. So then they can be removed from the kitchen. So one has to appreciate that these elements, they're dependent upon the Lord. The universe is a natural Shakti of Paramatma. So we have to be able to see everything back to Krishna. Then everything falls into place. But if we see like these other schools, we try to separate it. We don't use the Satkaryabad. We just think that, oh no, it stands on its own. There's no connection to Krishna. Then you end up with so many misunderstandings and misconceptions. Okay, so we'll stop here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.